Today is our first Sunday in Advent, and I was speaking with Miss Sally earlier today as we were beginning our services, and actually before our services, and I actually said to her, our first Sunday in Lent. Yeah, whoops. Just a little off, not far, just a few months, but time flies when we're having fun, amen? And I don't know about you, but even when I'm not having fun, it seems to fly. And as I get older, I swear the years just zip past. I can remember when this year started on January 1st, as many of you probably can, and now here we are on December 3rd, and it seems like February was just yesterday. And I'm grateful for some of the speed, but I'm getting old quick. But it reminds me just how much I need to prepare myself. And that's what Advent is. It's a time of preparation. I need to slow myself down. My sister used to say, slow your roll. I don't know where she ever got that from, but I hear a lot of people say it, slow your roll. And we need to slow things down as we're coming here into Christmas, because I don't know whether you notice it or not, now we don't watch TV anymore, but how many ads are there right now for all kinds of Christmas stuff? Yeah, it gets a little monotonous this time of year, and the hubbub and everything that comes into it. And Advent is meant to be a time of preparation, a time of slowing down, a time of reflection, a time of preparing ourselves to receive the coming of the Lord. And what we have to think about here today is we're going to be talking at the prophets. We're going to be looking at the prophets. And in this story of Advent that we're going to look at today, the prophets all looked at the life of Israel, and they literally asked the people in Israel to take stock of who they were, what they were doing, what they had become, and remember, God was there with them. And one story in particular we're going to look at here today, and it's from Isaiah. We're going to be in the 64th chapter of the book of Isaiah, so you can turn there, if you would, in your scriptures, and we will wait until you get there, because as we look at this, we're going to find that this is actually a prayer. This is a prayer of the prophet Isaiah that he is going to be speaking to the Lord on behalf of Israel, on behalf of the people. And I think it's a prayer that perhaps we need to take into our lives today, because when we think about just how much stuff is happening in our world and how much stuff is happening in our lives, we need to prepare to meet the Holy God. And Isaiah prays something here that's very real, and I'm hoping to reflect on this. Our float for this past holiday parade was Here He Comes. Okay, that was our theme, Here He Comes. And it's so funny because as Miss Sally chose these pieces and well, not Miss Sally, but the worship team and her and I and everybody else, we decided, you know, this was the direction we wanted to go for Advent this year, because every year we have to think, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And we have to pray and seek God. And it just so amazed me because he begins here with this very first one. Isaiah's prayer here is for God to come down and make himself known again. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? God having come down from heaven. And how many of us want God to come down into our lives? Because it feels as though he's absent in some places, because we see what's going on in our world and just how devoid our world is of God. And sometimes that carries over into our own lives. Am I right? I mean, or am I the only one who feels that way? So we're going to look at Isaiah and what he has to say and speak on some of these pieces that he's talking about, breaking it down into parts. We're going to do 1 through 9. We're not going to do the whole prayer. It's a huge prayer. We're actually jumping into the middle of this prayer. And this is what he has to say, because he's praying for mercy and for help according to the headings on the text here. From 64, 1 through 9, we read these words. It says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things which we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. For from days of old they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices in doing righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, for we sinned. We continued in them for a long time. And shall be saved. And shall we be saved, excuse me. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name who arouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the power of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Behold, look now, all of us are your people. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Isaiah made a prayer here. He was asking the Lord to come down and save his people. He recognized where they were. He recognized what was going on. He recognized several things. The first thing that I want us to understand that as we look into this prayer, as God is in heaven looking down, the prophet is saying, please, bring down to us the hope of your power once again. The hope of your power once again. Remember, Israel had seen God deliver them through the Red Sea. He had parted the sea and they were able to walk through. Remember, Israel saw the presence of God on top of Mount Sinai, and the mountain shook and trembled, and fire and smoke came down upon the mountain. Remember, they saw the things of God that they did not expect. This is what the prophet was speaking of, and it's that hope of power. And many of us look around our world and we say, Lord, we need that kind of power to shake people to their very knees. But one of the things we need to remember is God does not deal with nations the way he used to deal with nations. For God came down on Christmas years and years ago, nigh unto 2,000 years ago now, and he came as a babe. He didn't come as a conquering king. He didn't come in power and might. He came in humility. He came lowly to show us how we ought live in his presence as he was here with us. He showed us that the hope of power is truly in a humble heart. The hope of power is something that we each receive personally. And Isaiah here is praying for this power to be recognized by the peoples. The reality is that you know, and I have to say this, I think God's people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I think we need to understand that God has come down. He has touched our lives. He has given us the hope of all power here, now, today, for us. It's not for centuries away. It's not for what was. It is for now, for what is. But are we willing to receive it? Are we willing to humble ourselves and walk into that reality? And if we are, there are several things that we need to do as a people in order to receive it. And the prophet here, remember, the prophets were wonderful guys, all right? We killed most of them because they spoke the truth. How many people like to hear the truth? We'll all say we do. But the reality is, it's okay as long as it's general truth. But if it's truth about me, do you really want to hear it? Yeah, I see the smiles and the smirks, and yeah. Because the reality is, none of us want our truth pointed out. That's why there are shows out there like Jerry Springer. Because we want everybody else's stuff pointed out so we don't look so bad. That's called dysfunction in a major way. And that's where we live. My address is one dysfunction way. Or one way dysfunction. And each and every one of us lives there for a period of time. And every now and then we go back and visit. Because those of us who are in Christ, we no longer live there. We live in heavenly abodes. Because Christ came down from glory, and he touched our lives, and he has transformed us. But every now and then, we like to go back, and, you know, this is what my mom and dad used to call it. We would go visit where we used to live, okay? When we were little, we lived in a place, it was called the Summit Grove Campground, okay? You all know what what's the one up here, the Lebanon, what's that? Mount Lebanon Campground. There you go. It's got the big tabernacle in there. Well, we used to be the only ones that lived at Summit Grove Campground. It was one of those camp meeting places. Had all the cottages out there that you people, you know, the folks here in Lebanon live in. Those little things, you're only supposed to be there for the summer. And then they live in them all year now. Well, we used to live in the caretaker's house. So I would be there when I was a little kid. This is not a joke. When I was a little kid, they would have all these revivals in there. And I would sit up on the hill because the caretaker's house sat up on the hill and the revival thing was down here. And I would sit there and listen to these preachers preaching when I was a little boy. Had no idea what God was doing to me at that time. Had absolutely no idea because we weren't Christians. But I look back now and I think to myself, wow, he was planting that word when nobody else was digging holes. And I think about Mom used to say, hey, we're gonna go slumming. That's what she called it. We're going to go slumming. And we knew exactly what she meant. We were going to go back to where we used to live and look at it and all that good stuff. So we would drive down to Summit Grove Campground. We would get out of the car and we would walk around and say, yeah, do you remember when we used to live here? And it was funny because my little brother, he never grew up there. He was born in Glen Rock after we moved. My little sister, Carol, when we left there, she might have been 4 months old. So she didn't remember it. So Tammy and I were the only ones that remembered it. And we would talk about all this stuff like, oh, it was glorious, you know. And Mom used to laugh and she'd say, oh, yeah, you know. And it's remembering. It's going back. It's looking back and remembering that stuff. And as I look back now at 55, I don't remember the stupid little things anymore. But I remember those preachers down there preaching that word. I remember where I was. I was growing up as a little boy in a church camp. I never realized that until I was in like my 30s and 40s and seeking the Lord in my own life. That, wow, he was seeking me when I was just a baby. He planted me in a place where the word was being proclaimed and my parents had no way of doing anything about it because that was home. Is God good or what? For God has come down to meet us personally. And the prophet here spoke of that. Remember when you came down. You know, we want you to come again. And I think this is funny. Look how trivial he is. Look how trivial he is. He says in verse 2, as fire kindles the brushwood, or as fire causes water to boil. Excuse me, when the fire came down on the mountain, do you think water was boiling? Or do you think rocks were getting hot? Do you think the ground was shaking or quaking? We're not talking a little light a match and start a stove here kind of fire. We're talking a fire that's going to transform the earth. We're talking a fire. So what you see here is the Isaiah is not being too presumptuous to say, Lord, knock us off our feet. He's saying, just heat us up a little bit. Let your enemies know you're around. And that's the most amazing thing, because how did he come down? He didn't come down as that big fire. He didn't come down as that big earthquake. He didn't come down as that world transformer. He came down as the illegitimate son of a carpenter and a supposed virgin, and he became a carpenter. So he heard the prayer and he answered the prayer. He didn't come as the big flame. He came as a little fire. And where did he start that little fire? In the hearts of men and women in the vicinity of Jerusalem, in the midst of Israel. And that fire has been burning ever since. How many of you have that fire burning in your hearts right now? Because it does not need to shake the mountains. It does not need to consume the earth. Those things will happen again. But what it needs to do is start the fire within your heart. So when we think about the words of the prophet here, he knows exactly what we need. This is God's man on the spot. He is saying it the way it needs to be. This is a personal relationship. You don't cook tea for your enemy. Can I get an amen? Amen. But you'll certainly heat a kettle of water for a friend who comes to the door and knocks and says, hey, let's rest for a while. Let's talk for a while. Let's see how things are going on. That's the God I know. That's the God I love. That's the God who has come down for me, for you. He's here to light that fire of warmth, that fire of welcome, that fire of hope. But the prophet went on, because the prophet understood that when we think of what's going on and that he's calling him to come down here, he's telling the Lord God that we need to see ourselves as we really are. All right? We need God to come, and we really can't afford, and I want you to think about this. How many of us could afford to have the God who shakes mountains come down? Because that means he's going to shake my life up in a big way. It means he's going to shake your life up in a big way. It's talking about change immediate. I can afford to have God come on that personal level. Because then he and I can work it out, and he can truly change me, allow me to work it out and to gain that insight of who he is and submit myself to him. If God shook the mountains, he's in charge of the change. Now, he's in charge of the change as it is, all right? But it's personal change. It's change that you've got to walk into. That's the kind of change that Isaiah was calling for here. And I don't think he knew what he was calling for. Because remember, this is a prophetic prayer. This is a prayer for something yet to come. And this is a prayer for God coming down and how God was really going to come down. But the thing that we need to remember is this is also a prayer of remembrance. Isaiah was praying like this because he could remember when God shook the earth. He can remember when God freed them from Egypt. He could remember when God did all the miraculous signs. But do we need those miraculous things, or do we need a relationship? Because as much as God did those things, did the peoples of the earth clamor to God? No. It's only through that personal relationship, that warming relationship, that relationship that sits at your table and grows with you, that a person is transformed and changed. And that is what the prophet understood. When we think of just where Isaiah is and what he's doing and how he is looking at this, we need to understand, too, that we need to come to a place of looking at ourselves, that yes, we need him. Yes, we see what you did in the past, but we need to understand where we are. If we want God to come down and come into our lives, how many of us need to reckon with who we are and what we are? Because if you remember, when we spoke this prayer, as we read it, He says here, he says, we continue, excuse me, who remembers you in your ways? Behold, you were angry, for we what? It's verse 5. For we what? Sinned. Oh my goodness, there's that word. We're not allowed to say that word. We're not allowed to use that word in our culture today because there are no sinners. There are choices. And we all get to make whatever choices we want to make, right? I mean, that's why when we go to Little League games, there's no winners and there's no losers. Everybody gets a trophy at the end. We don't keep score. Ha! I'll tell you right now, there is one keeping score. And we need to remember, he was the one who started it all. And God does not forget. What did I just say? But God also will remember no more. And that's because of his great love. How much does God love us? He who can never forget. He who never can forget. Because he would not be God if he had an absent mind. He who can never forget chooses by love to remember no more. And if God doesn't remember it, who can hold it against us? Absolutely nobody. Because if God doesn't remember it, it is as if it never happened. But we need to confess our sin. We need to come before the Lord in such a manner that we are confessing who we are. Now, I know right now, and I think it is so funny because I get around pastors, you know. I love pastors. I are one. And when we get together, I love to hear pastors pray because they pray confessions of their church. Oh, Lord, we pray for our church. We have sinned against you, Lord. And then they're talking, and, you know, and it's just a bunch of good words, right? And then your pastor prays. And I'm not holding myself up because I'm not qualified to have the job I have. It's the only way I can put it. I am a sinner of the nth degree. I understand what Paul said when he said what he said. I am the least of these. Because I know from where I have come, and it holds me, and I look at it all the time. And without the grace of God, I could not walk the road I walk, because I need that grace every day. I need that love every day of my life. But that means I need to keep short accounts with him, that when I screw up, and you can ask Lynn, I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress, okay? I'm a work in progress. You know, and I love that, Marion, not process, progress. We need to remember that. That's what our sign says. We are a work in progress. That means we are moving forward. We are gaining ground every day. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because it's as we are in progress, that's where God meets a sinner like you and I. That's where God comes down from heaven. He who is above us all and would destroy us, if he would come down with his might, we would be destroyed. But when he comes down in love, grace, and mercy, and humility, how does he meet us? He meets us as we are. And he loves us. And he sets aside our sin. And he says, love me. Hold on to me. Hold on to my teaching. Learn from me. Learn from me. Love me. Because love makes all the difference. And I'm not talking the love of the world where everything's okay, it's all peaches and cream, everything's acceptable. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real, true, sacrificial love that says, I will deny myself and take up my cross and follow you daily. I'm talking about a love that Isaiah here is calling upon the people that they would fall upon their knees, think about who they are, how much they have screwed up, and admit it to God, if to no one else. How many of us are willing to get that real with God? You know, when we have our time of confession, and I often, you know, I don't know how you pray. I'm weird, okay? I think many times, I wonder what they're praying. How many of them are really confessing, pardon my words, the crap of their lives? Because that's what it is. He says that it is as filthy rags. It is as filthy rags. We're talking about dirty diapers here, people. In fact, what we're talking about is far worse than dirty diapers if you look up the theological truth of that word. Okay? And I don't need to get into that. You get into that. Look at what that word really means there, and you will find out that it's not cool. It's pretty bad, as Brother David says. And isn't that who we are? But do you know that's what God wants from us? He wants us to come clean. Oh, my God. What? He wants us to come clean. Do you get what I just said? And the only way we can come clean is through the blood of Calvary. We just partook of the cup of the covenant. It is only in the blood of that lamb that we come clean. It is only through the confession, true repentance of heart, that we come clean. And we are as lambs again before the Father, blameless, spotless. I want you to think about something. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. He was perfect, right? What do you think God sees when he looks at you in Christ Jesus? He sees that perfect, spotless, blameless lamb. He sees a sacrifice worthy unto himself. He sees everything acceptable unto himself because of the blood of the Lamb. We become the Lamb. When we come in confession, that real, that true, that transforms who you are to who God will have you be. And I know that's where I am. Because, man, I'll tell you, I'm a mess inside right now. That happens every time I take communion. Because I cannot take communion without getting my spirit right. And I just love my Lord. And I know I'm not worthy. How many of you here know that? You're not worthy. We're not worthy. Yeah, Brother Chuck's raising both hands. Get him up there, brother. Because we're not. But Jesus on the cross of Calvary, he put his hands up too. And he said, you're not worthy, but you're worth it. I love you. And he took our nails. He took our sin. And he came down from glory. He came down into our lives. He came that we may come to life once again. So it's a prayer of confession. It's a prayer of hope and power. It's a prayer of remembrance. It's also a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith that speaks the truth. From verse 8, we read these words, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter, and all of us are the work of your hand." I think this is amazing because here the prophet is. He's reminding God who he is. The prophet is telling God who he is. And I think this is cool because he's telling God, hey, dude, you're our dad. Hey, buddy, you made us. Now, how many of us would dare tell God that? That's almost like an accusation. I'm the way I am because you made me this way. How many times have we heard that out there in the world? I'm gay because God made me this way, and I'm made in the image of God, so this is the way I'm supposed to be. Ah, wrong chicken. How many of you people like when I do that? At wrong chicken. You know, because I know right now there's people out there, they're like, what is that guy talking about? He constantly says that. You need to come to Lebanon and visit with us. We have Hinkletown right above us. That's Pennsylvania Dutch for chicken town, okay? We have a whole bunch of chicken processing plants up here, so we know good chicken. But when we speak of faith, God come down, and the love, the true love, it is faith in love that God is speaking about. It's not the love of this world. It's not the things that this world wants us to understand, but it is really, truly realizing that we are a mess, and we are a mess because we are no longer created in the image of God. We are created in, we are procreated in the image of a fallen Adam. Read your Bibles. Where's that found, people? Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. Am I right, Marion? I think so, too. Everybody on the internet's going to be finding that one out. Because it says that we are now procreated in the image of our broken father, Adam. We are no longer the image of God. Adam was the only one who was until he fell from grace because of sin entering into the equation. And for those people who want to say that they're created in the image of God as they are, they're wrong. Because no one is any longer the image of God. Say Christ himself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And he is our redeemer. He is our redeemer kinsman. He brings us to life through the redemptive power of the cross of Calvary and brings us into the glory of God through the power of the resurrection and the ascension. We need to change. We need to recognize our sin, and we need to change. We need to understand that it is only through faith. Here the prophet is telling him, Lord God, you made us. Lord God, you are the potter. He's telling us, change us again. That's what he's telling him, okay? He's telling him, you are the potter. We submit to you. As the clay submits to the potter, so too, Lord, we submit to you. Change us. Break us down and bring us back. Mold us again. Make us new. And only God can do that. That's what's happening here. That's what he's talking about. He's not telling God who he is or threatening God. He's literally telling God, you made us, and only you can change us. Change us. Change us. We submit to you. Wow, what kind of word is the word submit? How many of us here would love to live our lives in submittance? That speaks a connotation of defeat, doesn't it, in our world, but not in God's ecology, because when we submit to God the Father, we are submitting ourselves to holiness. We are submitting ourselves to a love that is unending. We are submitting ourselves to a purity that will change us from ever-increasing glory to ever-increasing glory. That's what happens when God comes down. That's the kind of faith God will meet. That's where Christ is obviously trying to get us to move. That our faith would recognize the fact that he has the power to do the things that he has says he will do. Are we willing to chance it? How many of us are willing to submit, to have enough faith to step out and say, God, here I am. Mold me. Make me. Make me new. Or how many of us are just a little scared and, well, I'm going to stand back here and see what he does with that guy. See what he does with that guy. See what he does with that guy. Because I'll tell you right now, you can be a spectator, but what happens to spectators? They will not enter into the kingdom. Because if you're going to enter in, you have to what? Enter in. You've got to commit If you're not committed, you are non-committed. Am I right? So what happens to uncommitted people? They don't receive the benefits of the committed, do they? And there's a lot of folks who come to the church, and that's as far as they come. They haven't come to Christ. I want you to ask yourself, are you one of those people who's come to church, but you've not come to Christ? You've not come to that place of committing, to submitting, to confessing, to receiving and understanding the power that is here, the hope of the power that is here. Understanding and receiving that the God of the past who has done all these marvelous things is the God who can help you to become more than you could ever dream to become. That this is the God who wants to get into your life and see the confession come out to free yourself from your past. How many of us are held captive by our past right now? I'm going to tell you right now, there's not an individual in this church that can say, not me. Because the one thing I know about each and every one of us is as much as we may claim Alzheimer's or sometimers, as I call it, you do remember. And do we remember the good things or do we remember the bad things? Unfortunately, because of sin in our lives, we remember the bad stuff more than we do the good stuff. And it controls us. But God will help us to remember it no more if we're true to Him. If He doesn't remember it, how can we? Because we're sinful people, amen. So when we look at this, I got to bring this puppy to an end. When we look at this, we need to understand that we truly do belong to God. And that as we come into this Advent season, I want to ask you this question. Jesus came down. He humbled Himself and came as a babe, not as a prince, not as a king. He didn't live in palaces and castles. He didn't have armies at His command. He came as a babe. He came lowly. He came simply. He came humbly. And He came and He gave all that He is. And He says, I'll be angry with you no more. But I will love you to life if you'll receive me. That's verse 9. Do you understand that? That's verse 9. We've got the whole way through this piece. He says, I'll not remember it. I'm sending my Son to love you. So my question is, will we humble ourselves before the living God and once more long for His coming? His coming into our lives every morning. His coming into our lives in our every need. His coming. Next week, we're going to be looking at the shepherds. And we're going to look at how He came to the shepherds. Then we're going to look at Mary. And we're going to see how God came to Mary. And then the one that I like, and this is kind of funny because when we chose this, I was like, what's this guy got to do with anything? Joseph. And Joseph has spoken to me. What God did with Joseph, how God came to Joseph, and what it meant for God to come to Joseph. Whew. If you're a man, that one's going to touch you. I mean that. Because God knows what we need, guys. The question is, do we know what we need? So when we look at these comings, we're going to be looking through the eyes of the prophets. We're going to be looking through the eyes of the shepherds. We're going to be looking through the eyes of Mary. We're going to be looking through the eyes of Joseph and just what they were seeing and how God came down to them. And He is coming down again, dear people. My question is, are we going to humble ourselves before the living God? Are we once more going to long for His coming? Will we go through this holiday season focused solely on self and the madness that this holiday brings with all the packages and the meals and the trips and you name it? I mean, I think it is so funny. You know, a member of our family, you know, they're going to be at two places on Christmas because they have to be at one place, and then a couple hours later they need to be at another place, and then they're going to drive all the way, you know, to the other side of the state, all on Christmas Day. That's madness. That's what we've turned Christmas into. What should it be? It should be a time of just sitting down and saying, thank you, Lord, for coming into my life, for changing me, for giving me the greatest gift I could ever have hoped for. And I'm still unwrapping that sucker. I haven't gotten it all out of the box yet. How about you? Because I'll guarantee you, I'll unpack this one for all eternity. Even after I'm changed to perfect glory, I'll still be unpacking this one. Because I don't have the mind of God, do you? But oh, what a day it'll be when we see the face of God. Can I get an amen and an hallelujah? Yeah. So my question for you today is, do you belong to Him? Are you praying for God to come down into your life? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much that you have come down and that you are coming down again. Just as they saw you ascend, Father, so too shall we see you come down from the clouds in glory. And Lord, when you come down this time, you won't be alone. So Father, I pray that each and every one of us here who has heard your message and knows your love would be there with you to come down with, to rule and reign with you over the years to come. Father, we ask your blessing upon this day and upon this message and the hearers thereof. And we ask, Lord, that you would come down and renew our hearts and prepare us to receive you once again. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.